We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
I'm here. My name's Gary Parrish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Bennett Doyle's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Well, Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding.
And I hope you didn't give up on Aaron Judge after he went 7 straight games without a home run. Stuck on 60. Because he came through last night in the 7th inning. 2-run shot. His 61st homer of the season, tying Roger Maris for the most in the history of the American League. He's got 7 more games to go, so he is expected to pass Roger Maris at some point. It was a neat moment last night in Toronto. And then a gentleman named Frankie Lasagna entered the conversation. We'll get into it in a second. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420 Ross Dellinger is going to join me from Sports Illustrated. And a nice story at SI.com about the conference commissioners and the Notre Dame athletic director meeting past couple of days in Chicago to further discuss a 12-team college football playoff. So Ross Dellinger will get us up to date on what that's going to look like and when it's going to start. He'll join me in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do 4 notable stories at 444, at which point we're going to discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories. Among them, there will be no Memphis Madness at FedEx Forum this year. Instead, it's going to be an on-campus block party for both the men's and women's basketball teams. Tell you more about that around 444. The Mets won last night. The Braves lost last night. So New York now has a 1-game lead in the NL East with 6 regular season games remaining. Massive Mets-Braves series starting tomorrow down at Truist Park. We'll talk about that a little later on this hour. A father and son duo has been charged with the murder of rapper PNB Rock. 17-year-old son is the shooter. The dad is the getaway driver. What a weird deal to plan and execute a murder with your child. That is not how you win Father of the Year awards, Big Bet Bennett.
No.
That's not how you win Father of the Year awards. I know that. Talk about it just before 5 o'clock. And rest in peace, Coolio. Celebrated 90s rapper. Grammy Award winner. Dead at the age of 59 of an apparent cardiac arrest. Happened yesterday in California. Sad deal. We'll spend a few minutes on that during 4 notable stories at 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cock is just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to. But I did want to start with Major League Baseball because it was a historic night last night in Major League Baseball. Yankee star Aaron Judge hit his 61st home run of the season, which, of course, ties him with Roger Maris for the most in American League history. The 30-year-old slugger who will this offseason enter free agency and eventually sign a contract worth more than $300 million. He got a 94-mile-an-hour sinker from Toronto pitcher Tim Mesa. This is in the top of the 7th and sent it over the left field wall. The ball left the field in just 3.8 seconds. Exit velocity was 117.4 miles per hour. The home run traveled 394 feet. It was a sweet moment. You might have saw on the front row Aaron Judge's mother and Roger Maris' son hugging each other. And now we'll get to see if Aaron Judge can hit at least one more to pass Roger Maris and set a new American League record. He's got 7 more games to do it. 3 at home against the Orioles tomorrow night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. Then he's got four against the Rangers, one on Monday, doubleheader on Tuesday, and a regular season finale on Wednesday. On the season, Aaron Judge is averaging one homer every 2.475 games that he plays. So if he plays all seven games, he should, based on that pace, hit two or three more and finish with 63 or 64. And he'll do it without even a whisper of performance-enhancing drugs, which, if he hits one more, will make Aaron Judge the single-season home run king in some people's eyes. So let's stop here for a second.
Okay.
Big Bet Bennett.
Yes.
If Aaron Judge hits one more home run this season, will he be your single-season home run king or not?
I'd say no.
And I would say that's the right answer.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I always go back to, I saw it with my own eyes.
I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
Rolling Stone. I bring this up because Rolling Stone, I don't know if you saw this tweet.
I saw it, yep.
They tweeted, you know, breaking news, Aaron Judge ties real home run record. And there was some obvious pushback. I guess some people agree with that, right? Because they take Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, who are the only three players to have ever hit more than 61 home runs. Bonds hit 73 in 2001. That's the official record. Mark McGwire hit 70 in 98. Sosa, 66 in 98. And then McGwire's also got a 65 home run season. And Sammy Sosa's also got a 64 and a 63. But all of those players, each of the three, are connected to performance-enhancing drugs in pretty undeniable ways. And so Rolling Stone and some others consider Roger Maris still to this day as the single-season home run king. Last night, Aaron Judge tied him. And if Aaron Judge gets one more, they say that Aaron Judge will be the all-time single-season home run king. I just disagree. And I acknowledge, I'm not trying to argue with you about whether Barry Bonds used performance-enhancing drugs. He clearly did. But everybody was using them then. Even the pitchers, by the way. And Barry Bonds hit 73 balls over the fence. He hit 73 balls over the fence in 2001. That's the record, period, in my mind. It's wild the way we, or at least some people, decide what's legitimate and what isn't. In 2001, do you even remember who won the World Series? I didn't either, by the way. I had to go look it up.
2001. Let me think.
I mean, I do remember now watching it, but if you'd just asked me trivia time who won the 2001 World Series, I would not have been able to.
I'm going to say, I feel like the White Sox won one in the early 2000s.
Arizona Diamondbacks.
Okay. Wow.
Beat the Yankees in seven games. And they probably had somebody using PEDs on their team, wouldn't you think?
I would think so.
Right. But nobody, you know, says, well, that means it's a fraudulent World Series. So, and I realize it's a little apples to oranges. I got it. But if we're not going to start picking and choosing everything apart as it relates to performance-enhancing drugs, I'm happy to just let whoever won the World Series in whatever year be considered legitimate World Series champions, and whoever hit home runs in whatever year, under whatever circumstances, they can, if they hit more than anybody else, be the single-season home run record holder. That's Barry Bonds, 2001, 73 bombs. And by the way, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but players in the 60s, which is when Roger Maris set this record, they weren't using the same performance-enhancing drugs that Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were using, but they were using amphetamines. I mean, that was I can't tell you definitively that Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle were using amphetamines, but I can tell you that other baseball players who played in that era have, on the record, said about 75% of major leaguers were using amphetamines to stay sharp, focused, full of energy. That is, by definition, a performance-enhancing drug. Major League Baseball has banned amphetamines the same way they've banned performance-enhancing drugs, the type that Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa allegedly used. So there's been performance-enhancing drugs in some form in baseball basically forever, and that's why I don't have much interest in getting into the gray area and debating every single thing as it relates to Barry Bonds. In 2001, he hit 73 balls over the fence. Nobody's ever done that. He's the single-season home run king, and I imagine will remain that for a long, long time, perhaps ever. Now to Frankie Lasagna. You familiar with Frankie Lasagna at this point?
No.
Frankie Lasagna. What a name.
That is an awesome name.
I'm still waiting for the story to come out that that's not his real name.
There's no way that's his real name.
But a man who identifies as Frankie Lasagna was on the front row in the outfield at the Rogers Center last night. And if you go watch the record-tying home run, old Frankie Lasagna missed it by just about an inch. Ball even hit off his glove, I believe.
I saw it. Okay, I didn't know that was. I didn't realize this.
He was devastated, obviously.
He looked devastated. I would have been, too.
He needed a better wingspan. He needed longer arms. He had those Imani Bates arms. Can't have those short little Imani Bates arms.
That's right.
You need longer arms. He just barely missed it. And so rather than fall in Frankie Lasagna's glove, this record-tying home run ball fell in the Blue Jays' bullpen. And then somebody in the bullpen, you know, turned it over to the Yankees, and they got it to Aaron Judge. And I guess that's one way that could have gone down. But it led to a discussion about if you're Frankie Lasagna, it wouldn't it be great to be Frankie Lasagna, or at least be named Frankie Lasagna.
Dude, he's sitting front row. He's obviously doing okay.
Well, I don't know. Front row in the outfield is not that big of a...
Is it not?
I don't think so.
How much do you think a ticket is for front row in the outfield?
I mean, I don't, it depends on where you're at and who's playing.
I bet it's pretty expensive, and that was a big game.
All right, but let's for the sake of the conversation, let's assume Frankie Lasagna's doing okay for himself.
I think Frankie Lasagna's doing all right.
I think let's assume Frankie Lasagna's doing fine. If he would have caught that ball.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, forget Frankie Lasagna.
All right.
Let's put Big Bet Bennett in the outfield on the front row.
Yes.
Assuming you could afford the tickets.
Uh-huh.
You're out there in the outfield, front row, you got your glove on, got your Ray-Bans on.
Yep.
Here comes Aaron Judge's record-tying 61st home run, and you catch it immediately. Somebody who either works for Toronto or New York is going to approach you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
I'll talk to you guys, you know, outside of the game. Let me sit on it.
This is, Mr. Judge, that's his record-tying home run, and he has requested it. He'd be happy to give you some signed bats. And
No, that's not going to work for me. Love, Aaron. You know, this is amazing. I can't believe this moment. But, no, I'm going to hold off for now, and I'll be in touch.
Big Bit Bennett, I think we're in agreement on everything today.
Yeah.
There is no scenario where I would hand over that ball.
No. No. You saw the kids did it with his, with like 60 or 59 that they did it at Yankee Stadium, and they just got some autographed balls and bats.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
No way.
No, you know what Mark McGwire's 62nd homer in 98 sold for? $3 million. Barry Bonds' 73rd in 2001. That ball sold in 2003 for $450,000. I think the price on that one came down a little bit because of all the...
Right, yeah.
By 2003, it was pretty understood. Barry Bonds was cheating like crazy. Bottom line, these balls are worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
It don't make any sense to me. I don't know why. I wouldn't spend $450,000 to have a ball, but somebody does.
Yeah.
People do this.
Me and Drew Hill talked about this when he was hosting, and I came to the conclusion, like, if I was a diehard Yankees fan and a diehard Aaron Judge fan, and I just felt like it was, you know, my job to make sure he has that ball and that memory, I would at least, and I'm not going to sell it for a bunch of money, I'm going to at least need season tickets, great seats for multiple years, like a suite night, a couple different nights. Like, I'm on memorabilia, all that stuff. I'm going to need something really, really good in the payoff.
You know what I need?
Huh?
I need a phone number on an auction house. That's what I need. That's all I need.
Me too. No,
I need a phone number
on
an auction house.
Me too. I'm just saying, if I was in the fans' shoes that wanted to, you know, maybe give it back.
I don't care if I was at Citi Field, a lifelong Mets fan, and Pete Alonso broke the record. Pete Alonso's not getting that ball that night. Dave Kohler, who is CEO of a California auction house, he estimated that the value of the ball Aaron Judge hit last night is somewhere between $200,000 and $250,000. But if he doesn't hit another one, like this is the last one of the season, because in theory there's going to be a 62nd, a 63rd, maybe a 64th, mm-hmm. maybe a 65th. But he said if this is the last one, it could end up being valued more than $1 million. But as of right now, assuming that Judge hits another one, the 61st, the one that ties Maris, he says around $200,000, $250,000. I'm not just handing over $250,000.
No. Nope.
So that what? So that Aaron Judge can think I'm a nice guy? I don't need Aaron Judge to think I'm a nice guy.
He's not going to remember me.
Yeah. I don't need Aaron Judge to go, oh, man, GP was really nice to hand that ball over.
Right.
You know what I need? $250,000.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know sometimes these fans who catch these balls, they get shamed into either giving the ball up or you know, destroyed if they are unwilling to give the ball up.
Yep.
I ain't a part of that game.
I'm not doing that either.
I am team keep the ball. We go to baseball games every day in this country. Balls are hit into the stands, and they're yours. If you catch them, they're yours. It's not an NBA game where, like, the basketball goes in the stands, you got to throw it back. If a baseball comes into the stands at a baseball game, it's yours. You possess that. And if you get the right ball, it might be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe even millions. I'm going to cash that in.
Yes, sir. Me too.
Feel bad for Frankie Lasagna.
Yeah. Almost Frankie.
He was an inch away from Frankie. Like, imagine, this is what really happened last night. Somebody hit hundreds of thousands of dollars at him,
mm-hmm.
and he was an inch away from catching it.
Yep.
And then he blew it.
He was like in the cash machine, you know, where they shoot all the money up, and he just couldn't get his hands on any of it.
He had little Imani Bates arms.
Yep, that's right.
Never pays to have little Imani Bates arms.
Dang.
You needed some longer arms, Chandler Lawson arms. I'm assuming Chandler Lawson has an incredible wingspan.
So. Yeah.
Wish Chandler Larson would have been in Toronto last night. He could have caught that ball.
Yep.
Ross Dellinger's up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Run. Here come the menaces to sobriety. Like what? Super thug is dumping on a cut. What? Weighs a ton, hit the drum till you hear it go. Run. Piety's as gritty isn't us. What a rush. See you cutting up a pie, that's my lunch. Run. Yo, pockets when I come, it's an honor to be robbed by Denise's only son. Yeah. Give her ready, baby boy, bit it. Moving extra heavy with his Chevy. Gotta get it, eat spaghetti with the mobster. Vegan, feed them, cause they don't eat no steak and lobster. Sosa was my hero, honey. Tony's just a
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue. And that's Memphis Barbecue Company. It's owned by Melissa Cookston, 7-time world champion and the first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. So obviously the barbecue is great at Memphis Barbecue Company. But I hope you realize that you don't have to get barbecue at Memphis Barbecue Company. So if you're like not in the mood or you're with somebody who's not in the mood, it's still fine. You can still go there. They got a full menu for everybody to enjoy. Salads, burgers, sandwiches, fried catfish, grilled salmon, grilled chicken, chicken tenders, meatloaf, smoked wings. The menu is expansive. If you want to check it out, go to the website, memphisbbqco.com. That's memphisbbqco.com. It's located at 709 DeSoto Cove from Memphis. Just take 55 South today, Goodman Road exit, get off, go right. You can see it from the interstate. You can dine in 7 days a week, or you can schedule a pickup order online at memphisbbqco.com. That's Memphis Barbecue Company on the web, memphisbbqco.com. Supposed to be joined by Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated. Big Ben Bennett, I gather that's not going so well.
No, we'll reschedule for another day.
Maybe, hey, maybe you had an emergency.
Who knows?
Who knows? You never know. Sometimes people have emergencies, you know?
Yeah.
Look how mad you are.
It's fine.
Why you get so mad?
No, I'm not mad. I'm good. I'm totally good. Love Ross. He'll hop on sometime next week, I'm sure.
Of course he will.
Yeah.
Of course he will. Unless he forgets again.
No. I'm sure something came up.
Unless he forgets again. I actually set alarms. How often do you do this? I set alarms for like when I'm going to do radio hits, like 10 minutes before so that I'll remember. Like on my phone, I'll just turn the alarm. I do this all the time. I set alarms for myself all the time. Like if I'm at the airport and I'm in the Sky Club and I need to leave to get to my gate, I need to walk out at like 7:15. I'll set my alarm for 7:15 to remind me, hey, it's time to go. Otherwise, you know, you have a couple drinks, things get a little hazy, things can get a little confusing. And so I'm always setting alarms for myself.
Yeah, I mean, that's
maybe I should tell Ross about that.
Well, I forget
about my little trick to make sure I don't forget. And the other thing I do, I will often ask a producer, like a radio producer who reaches out to me about doing a spot on some radio station. I'll say, can you please text me like 15 minutes beforehand? Just to remind me.
Yep.
Because I will forget.
I do that anyways. I always text like a little ahead of time and say, hey, we'll hit you up here in about 30 minutes.
I hate it when people do that to me.
Why?
Unless I ask for it.
No. I text everyone a reminder.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Why? I'm doing a courtesy.
I guess it's not too much of an inconvenience because really all I got to do is just hit a thumbs up back.
Yeah.
You know, hit you with a thumbs up.
Or don't say anything. Most of the time they don't say anything back.
Here's the ones that actually drive me crazy. A producer will reach out at, say, 9 a.m. and say, hey, could you come on at 1:15, talk college basketball with my host in this market? I say, yeah, I can do that. They say, okay, cool. Thanks a lot. And then, like 3 hours, like at noon, I'll get another text message to be like, just making sure you're still good for today. Well, why wouldn't I be? And if I'm not, I would tell you that.
I don't know, man.
Now you're making me respond to something else.
That's true. I get that.
I will ask for a reminder if I want a reminder. Otherwise, let's just assume we're good to go unless I tell you otherwise.
I get that. As someone who gets stood up a lot.
What is the typical message you send to somebody when you're trying to book
them? I don't want to give away what I do, how I do this.
I'll tell you what
there's somebody trying to get in this chair right now. I don't want to give away my secrets.
I'll tell you what I like and what I don't like from that. Being on the other side of it as the possible guest. I hate. Absolutely hate. When a producer or even a host will text message me, unless it's somebody I know, like I'm friends, whatever. But if it's just like somebody I do their show every once in a while, but we're not buddies, when I get this message, I don't hate it. That's being overdramatic. But I don't like it. When it's like, hey, you want to come on with Danny today at 2:00? Well, no.
Right.
No, I don't. But are you asking me to?
I don't do that.
Yeah, don't like, hey, do you want to come? No. Like, how about start the conversation from an understanding that you are asking me to do something for you. So, like, even when I book a guest for this show, I'll send something like this. Hey, I know you're busy. Feel free to say no, but just wanted to reach out and see if you might have 12 minutes to talk NFL with me this afternoon. Let me know if that works. Starting from, hey, I know you're busy and I'm asking you a favor and feel free to say no. But if you got a few minutes, I'd love to talk to you. Not, you want to do radio tomorrow? No, I don't want to do radio tomorrow. I will if you ask me nicely. I'll do it, but don't. Am I nitpicking here?
A little nitpicky.
You think it's a little nitpicky?
Yeah. Yeah.
You think some people are just cutting to the chase? Yeah. Hey, I'm trying to book a 2 o'clock guest.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think you should ask me.
Yeah.
You shouldn't ask me if I want to do it. Like you're doing, unless it's like the, you know, Colin Coward show. Like, hey, you want to come on and talk with Colin tomorrow? Because that's one where, like, you really might go, yeah, I think I probably should. That's a big show. It's on national television. But just asking me to come on some whatever show, you should ask me nicely. Not just ask me if I want to do it. You think I'm being nitpicky.
That's fine.
Did you hear this clip they played on Nashville radio maybe last week?
No.
It was somewhere. I meant to ask Dan Wolkin about it. It was some market. They played it last week, and then somebody sent it to me. Maybe it was St. Louis. I think it was St. Louis.
Okay.
And they were, like, laughing about Wolkin, this clip that they remembered from a few years ago, where apparently, you know, they're coming back at a break.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how it is. You call the guest, and they're sitting there, like, the way that works is, you know, you call, Dan answers the phone.
Yeah.
Hello? Hey, Dan, it's Bennett with the Gary Parrish Show. Yeah. Just making sure you're still good. Yeah, of course. All right, cool. We'll be, you know.
Hang on one sec.
Yeah, yeah. We're coming out of break. Got 20 seconds. So apparently they come out of break.
Oh, no.
And they do a live spot. And it's just like an extra long live spot. Which is why I always tell you, or try to tell you, when I'm going to do a live spot just for a guest,
mm-hmm.
like, hey, I'm going to do a live coming out.
Yeah, you don't want them hanging on the line too long.
I don't
long.
Want
That's
people.
Annoying. Yeah.
Yeah, like, call them when I'm 30 seconds into the live. So Dan's just sitting there waiting, and they go, and now we get to USA Today columnist Dan Wolkin. Dan, it's, you know, it's Gary and Bennett. How you doing today? And Dan's like, okay, just listening to all these live spots you guys are doing. As if he was inconvenienced by having to sit on the phone.
Yeah.
Because he's probably sitting on the phone for like 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And that is irritating.
Oh, yeah.
But I never verbalize my irritation when that happens to me.
No, I call Dan like 20 seconds before
yes,
I put him on the radio.
That's right. That's the way to do it. Because I've had producers call me sometimes when I'm going to be a guest, and they'll be like, oh, here's the other one. I don't mind if you call late. Because I call late sometimes. I get to people late sometimes mm-hmm. too. But, like, don't call me early. Don't call me early. Maybe, well, you don't know what I had planned at that moment.
Right.
But I had a producer call one time, several times. And they say, I say hello. And they go, is this Gary? I'm like, did you expect somebody else to answer Gary's phone? Of course it's Gary. I don't say that. This is just what I'm thinking. And I say, yeah, this is Gary. What's up? Hey, is calling from 92.9 FM, blah, 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 blah. Just wanted to see if you're still good to go with Billy. Yeah, I'm good to go with Billy. All right, we'll get to you in, we're at a break right now. We'll get to you in 6 minutes. And I'm like, yo.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I said, yo, you just gonna, how about you call me back in 6 minutes?
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here on hold for 6 minutes. that's outrageous behavior. Like, what are you calling me? You're going to put me on hold for 6 minutes.
Yeah,
that's outrageous crazy. Behavior. We don't know what happened to Ross Dellinger.
No.
But it could be anything.
No, yeah.
I was going to talk to him about this story he had at SI.com detailing how the college football playoff looks like it's good to go and probably earlier than 2026. Like, we could get it as soon as 2024. And though the conference commissioners met for 2 days, the past couple of days in Chicago, and didn't officially announce any progress, they certainly indicated – like, we're good. There's nothing. I think this was a quote from the Notre Dame athletic director who was involved in this process because Notre Dame's an independent football. He said, there's nothing we're looking at that seems impossible. So it certainly does look like we're going to have a 12-team playoff in 2024 with the top four seeds getting byes. And the first round games being played on college campuses. And so, like, Ross Dellinger took a look at this, you know, earlier this week. Like, if we were having a college football playoff, 12 teams this season, this is what the bracket would look like right now. And he's got his top four seeds is Georgia, Ohio State, USC, and Clemson. But you would have in the first round, and this is why this is going to be awesome. You'd have Florida State against Michigan at Michigan. James Madison at Alabama. Kansas at Penn State and Washington at Tennessee, like on-campus college football playoff games. And then the quarterfinals would be played in bowls, semifinals in bowls, and national championship game, you know, up for bid. So if Miami wants it, Miami can, you know, bid on it. If Atlanta wants it, if the Rose Bowl wants it, Indianapolis wants it, you know, that'll rotate every year. But I just love the idea of the first round games being on campuses. I wish the second round games were on campuses as well, because let's just say you're Georgia and you are the one seed or a top four seed, you know, lots of years, you'd never host a playoff game. If you're a top four seed,
oh, right.
You by then we're moving to bowl games.
Yeah.
So there's some push in the room, it appears, from Ross's reporting, to have the second round games be at home as well. That way, again, based off this hypothetical bracket, the Florida State-Michigan winner would then go play at Georgia. The Alabama-James Madison winner would go play at Clemson. The Penn State-Kansas winner would go play at Ohio State. And the Tennessee-Washington winner would go play at USC. That's just so much better than putting them in some bowl game. Like Alabama at Clemson. That's awesome. You know, Florida State at Georgia. That's awesome. It'd be awesome anywhere, but there's something nice, special about on-campus football games and true home crowds. And so that part is still, you know, undetermined, and it'll probably end up in the bowls. Because the bowls are going to, you know, these people take care of these bowl games for reasons that don't make any other real sense other than a good old boy network. So it'll probably end up there, but there at least seems to be some push in the room to try to get the second round games also being in on-campus stadiums. And if so, I think from a fan's perspective, that would certainly be the preferable option. We come back. Memphis Madness, not happening at FedEx Forum. Not this year. Maybe again at some point in the future, but not this year. It was announced today by Laird Veach, the Memphis Athletic Director, going to be substituted with an on-campus block party. We'll get into that next. You listen to Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. We don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. At Service Master by Cornerstone. Now back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You don't want it, then you stab me in my back again. You the type to play the joke and try to hide your hand. Not the type to come around and try to play your friend. You the type to cut the grass and snake your best man. I'm the type to close the deal and cut my then. See me in person, I look like a ghost. See me in person, I look like a ghost. Boom. You want to come in and play with the goat?
Boom. Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, and host of the Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays 9 to 11 right here, 92.9 FM ESPN. He joins me every day after 5. He's going to be here in the next segment, but right now I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number 1.
Memphis Madness will not happen at FedEx Forum this year. Instead, it's been replaced on October 15th by a Memphis basketball block party that'll be held on campus. Big Bit Bennett, do you approve or disapprove?
I definitely approve.
I approve.
Yeah, I think that, you know, first and foremost, like this, it's a good idea for the university to have things like this that will make alum and fans of the teams come on campus, because we have a beautiful campus, and I personally, as an alum, think it's kind of underutilized when it comes to, like, events and stuff like that.
When's the last time you were on the main campus?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I lived over there for years when I went to school there, but I can't remember the last time I just went around and walked on the campus, because I haven't had a reason to.
Right.
It's no fault of the university. There's been no reason for me to go walk around on the campus, and this gives me a reason to take my family and go hang out on the campus for a night.
I can't remember the last time I was on the main campus, and my two little guys, so they're 8 and 5. They've never stepped foot on that campus, not once. We live 25 minutes from that campus. They've never stepped foot on it. not once. Like, that's a problem.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so,
this will be a reason, if you want to go, it'd be like, right. Hey, here's something we want to go to, and it happens to be on campus. Oh, wow, now let's look around. Oh, that's a new building.
Yeah.
That's an old building.
Let's go to the bookstore and get a shirt. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, all that stuff. So I'm for this.
I'm for it, too. And then, like, as it relates to Memphis Madness and that going away and this being the new thing, Memphis Madness has been awesome over the years. Like, I've enjoyed going to Memphis Madness.
Have you really?
As a fan of the Tigers. But
have you really, though? Do people actually enjoy themselves at Memphis Madness? I think
the last time I went, it wasn't like a blast. You know, Memphis Madness is for the players and the recruits.
Here's what I think Memphis Madness is. I think Memphis Madness is something people like to think about. Some people like to talk about. You like the idea of going. But when you're actually there, you're bored.
I agree.
That's what it is.
I agree.
That's at least my experience. And I don't say this about Memphis Madness as it's any unique thing. I've been to Kentucky Madness and Kansas Madness. I've been to a bunch of these.
Mm-hmm.
They're all boring. I'm bored at all of them.
Yeah.
Now, it was like kind of cool. Like, I'm sitting on press row one year, and Rick Ross is right in front of me, actually rapping, like performing. That's kind of cool. But that's like the only cool thing I remember. That's the only moment where I go, hey, this is kind of fun. Yeah. Everything else, I'm just bored out of my mind. I'm ready for it to be over.
Yeah, and again, like I said, I feel like that a lot of that stuff is definitely for, you know, the players and for the recruits that are in the house and things like that. But, like, at the end, like, who would be a huge artist that would perform at Memphis? Like, if Moneybagg Yo was going to perform at Memphis Madness, right? Like, yeah, that's cool for, like, the fans that are there. He'll come out and play a couple songs. Great. But, like, you're really doing that for, like, recruits and the players, right? And at the end of the day, dude, you could get Moneybagg Yo to come, like, say what's up to the players or the recruits, like, on a visit, like, on campus.
If you need Moneybagg Yo on campus, I bet you can get Moneybagg Yo on campus.
Exactly. I don't think you have to put on this massive, you know, production. So I don't think that that's going to affect anything. And I think it's cool they're doing an event on campus.
Yeah. We're on the same page here. I got no use for Memphis Madness. I don't mind it. It's not like I'm opening radio shows saying, kill Memphis Madness forever. If they do it again next year, it's fine with me. Whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying I've never really had – there are more moments where I'm sitting at a Memphis Madness inside FedEx Forum going, God, this thing's dragging. God, I wish this would hurry up and be over. There's more of those moments than I go, oh, wow, this is amazing. And I think that's probably largely true for most. I get it. Like, some fans, like, love to go get the autographs and the pictures and all that stuff. I got it. Like, I understand. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
It sounds like you might be able to do that at this new thing.
You absolutely will.
Yeah.
And so you'll, the only thing I would question, it's just a minor question. It was just something I would ask. Are we sure we want to do it on a Saturday afternoon during football season?
Yeah, that's a fair question.
Are we sure we want to do it on a Saturday afternoon during football season? I guess the comeback to that would be, well, when do you want to do it? If we're doing it outside.
Right. Yeah. It's going to get cold eventually.
It's going to start soon getting cold at night. We'd have to, you know, deal with lighting up the alumni mall if we're going to do this at night. On a weeknight. You don't really want to do it on a weekday, like during the day. So Saturday afternoon is probably our best bet. You know, we do Sunday afternoon. Is that any better? We're going up against the NFL.
Right.
So maybe Saturday afternoon is actually the best time to do something like this. And if you care deeply about Memphis basketball, you'll be there. And if not, you'll be watching football or playing golf or something.
That's right.
Yeah, it's fine. Whatever. I don't care.
Story number two.
Let's talk about much more important things.
What's going on?
And that's like the Mets coming from four runs down to defeat the Marlins 5-4 last night, while the Braves, the second-place Braves, lost 3-2. In D.C. to the Nationals. So you know what that means?
What's that mean?
It means that the Mets now have a one-game lead over Atlanta with just 6 regular season games to play. And half those games are going to be between those two teams starting tomorrow night at Truist Park. And the Mets hold a 9-7 advantage in record over the Braves this season, meaning the only way the Braves can get the tiebreaker over the Mets is by sweeping the Mets this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Problem with that is that one night you got a face Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
And another night, you got to face Chris Bassett. And another night, you got to face Max Scherzer. How you sweeping that?
I saw they moved DeGrom up. So they're trying to lock this thing up.
Well, the motivation there, they moved DeGrom to tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Originally, it was going to be Chris Bassett tomorrow night, DeGrom on Saturday, Scherzer on Sunday Night Baseball. And they moved DeGrom up tomorrow. To tomorrow. The reason is because if this comes down to the last game of the season, he could go again on Wednesday. Regular season wraps up on Wednesday. If DeGrom throws Friday, he can throw again Wednesday. If he didn't throw, basically your Friday night starter is your Wednesday starter if you need him.
Makes sense.
So they say, let's go DeGrom Friday, Bassett Saturday, Scherzer Sunday. And then if we need to bring DeGrom back on Wednesday, because we've got to win that game, then we can bring him back. And if not, we'll start somebody. If it's settled by then you just do a spot start, a bullpen game, and you have DeGrom well rested for game one of whatever you're doing. And so that tiebreaker situation is interesting because what it means is, for all intents and purposes, the Braves have a two-game deficit with only six to play. The Braves are going to have to win more games than the Mets to win the NL East, whereas the Mets can win the same amount of games as the Braves probably and win the NL East. The only way that's not true is if the Braves sweep this weekend. And just for the record, because I know there's like Braves fans that listen, I'm goofing around. Of course I understand there is a way that the Braves could sweep the Mets. I get it. I've seen stuff like that before. But got to feel good if you've got DeGrom, Bassett, and Scherzer going back-to-back-to-back. And you really probably just need to win one of those games. Obviously, try to go win all three.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this thing up.
Fun baseball night tomorrow night. You got that. You got Judge going for the record. Like, that's pretty cool.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this whole weekend. Like, I almost thought about going down to Atlanta.
Really?
I'm not, because I'm sure I'm going to go into playoff games, World Series games.
Yeah.
But I thought about it. Like, Jacob DeGrom in a sold-out Truist Park tomorrow night?
That is cool.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, LGM.
Story number three.
A father and son duo have been charged with the murder of PNB Rock. You might remember this a couple of weeks ago. Shot and killed in a Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles in Los Angeles at the age of 30. And the L.A. County District Attorney announced today that Freddie Trone was the getaway driver and his 17-year-old son was the shooter. So think about this for a second. You drive up to Roscoe's with your 17-year-old son, which is your 17-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, all right, go in there, shoot this guy, grab his jewelry, and then we'll drive away. I'll be the getaway driver. Can you imagine?
No.
Raising your son to participate in a robbery/murder with you?
No.
Like,
I cannot imagine.
Like, I can't imagine robbing people or murdering people, right? Let's just start there. I can't personally imagine robbing anybody or murdering anybody. But I especially can't imagine, like, if I were like, I've got a 19-year-old son. If I was like, all right, Aiden, here's the deal. We're going to pull up to Roscoe's. You're going to run in with a gun, pop this guy, get his jewelry, let him bleed out on the floor, hop back in. I'll be your getaway driver. I mean, what an outrageous conversation to have with your son.
Yeah.
Like, I bet when you're in the delivery room, you never imagine someday,
someday
me and this little baby will participate in a murder together.
Yeah, he's that might be worst dad ever award to that guy.
Oh, there's some pretty bad dads out there.
That might be the worst ever. I mean, like, if you're going to go through this with this plan, maybe you should have your son be the getaway driver.
How about don't involve your children in murders? How about that?
Dude, yeah, that's
How about if you are a father and you feel like you just got a murder and you need a 17-year-old to help you pull this off? Get somebody other than your son.
Yeah.
Why you want to wreck your kid? You just wrecked your kid's life.
Yeah. Yeah, he's about to do way more time than you.
I mean, they're both charged with murder.
Oh, okay.
They're both going to do a lot of time. But, yeah, why? Like, even if you're a bad parent, don't you want good things for your kid?
Yes.
Like, even if you're a terrible person, don't even terrible people want good things for their kid?
I think so, but I don't know. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible person, so.
Yeah, but I know terrible people.
Yeah.
And I still think they love their kids. They're just terrible.
Yeah.
I think even terrible people love their kids.
Yes.
So how could you send your kid into a murder?
I don't know, man.
I need to know more about this.
We live in crazy times.
I need to know more about this family.
Yeah.
How do you get to a point where in the middle of the day in broad daylight, you are planning and participating in a murder with your 17-year-old son? I got to know how you got from point A to point B on this one.
Mm-hmm.
One day, you're in the delivery room watching your son be born. 17 years later, you're driving him to a waffle restaurant to murder a rapper, and you're his getaway driver. I need to know what happened in between those two times.
Yeah.
Point A and point B. Tell me what happened in between there. Then maybe I can make sense of it.
Story number four.
Rest in peace, Coolio.
Yeah, man. I was bummed to see this.
Rest in peace, Coolio.
Yeah.
At 59 years old.
Saw him perform at a Grizzlies game.
You saw Coolio.
I saw Coolio. Yep.
Wonder if I saw Coolio.
Yeah, he performed halftime at a Grizzlies. I guess maybe it was like a 90s night or something like that. There was some theme, and yeah, he performed. I mean, it could have been a playoff game. I don't remember the exact game, but yeah, it was cool. He came out and performed.
Apparently a cardiac arrest.
Yeah, man.
No foul play suspected.
I mean, like, he was massive when I was a kid. He really was. Like, because he did, like, everyone knew every word to Gangsta's Paradise. Like, I mean, I could recite the whole song
last
right
night
now.
With, because we're watching the Mets game. We're watching Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Then this news comes across. And so I got Lou. He's still at the age when he gets tired, he wants you to hold him. It's sweet. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to go away at some point soon. But it's still the sweetest thing that happens every day. And so he gets up in my lap last night, and I'm just sort of holding him as he puts his head on my shoulder. And then this news comes across at some point, and I tell him, like, you know, like he obviously doesn't know anything about Coolio. And I was like, come on, let's watch this together. And we watched Gangster Paradise mm-hmm. together on YouTube, which, by the way, has got a billion views, a billion with a B.
Oh, I believe that.
And I haven't heard that song in decades, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you just stumble into it somewhere. But,
man.
But where would I even stumble into it?
I wore that CD single out.
Where would I even stumble into it? So, push play on YouTube.
Yep. There's Michelle Pfeiffer.
There's Michelle Pfeiffer. I still knew every word. That's the point. I knew every word.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.